Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message is the gospel lesson already read. Dear friends in Christ, how did I ever get myself into this mess? That's what the father of 3-year-old Mikey Spruill asked himself after his son took the family car on a joyride. Mikey described the event by saying, "I go zoom." People laughed about Mikey. After all, no one got hurt. Mikey didn't crash into anything. But now people have stopped laughing. They've stopped laughing because Mikey set his bedroom on fire and burned down the entire house, the family home. Mikey explained, "The wood burned, and now I have no more house." Mikey escaped unharmed, but his father wasn't so lucky. His father suffered burns on his hands and arms and back. What's more, Mikey was placed into protective care for an alleged lack of supervision. How did Mikey and his family get into this situation? Very simply, little by little, they let their guard down. After Peter finished his third denial of Jesus, a rooster crowed, reminding him of Jesus' prediction that he would deny his Lord. I've often wondered how Peter felt about roosters after that fateful day. I wonder if he cringed every time he heard a rooster crow. At the time, I imagine Peter asked himself the same question that Mikey's father asked himself, namely, how did I get myself into this mess? How could I have done such a thing? Again, the answer is little by little. Peter had been warned to watch and pray. In Matthew 26, we're told that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told Peter, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation." And perhaps Jesus' prediction that Peter would deny him before the rooster crowed reminded Peter of Jesus' words in Mark 13, verse 35. After explaining to his disciples that he could return to earth in glory at any time, Jesus said, "Keep watch. You don't know when the owner of the house will come, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." Peter was warned to stay alert, to stay close to Jesus, to put his trust in Jesus, but he let his guard down. Little by little, his watchfulness slipped away. Early in the evening of Monday, Thursday, Peter was confident in his standing. He was like a guard just starting his watch, all pumped up, alert, firm in resolution, ready for action. At that time, Peter had sworn loyalty to Jesus. He boasted that he would remain faithful even if the other disciples fell away. Yet, the night didn't go as he expected. When push came to shove, Peter abandoned the Lord. He ran away. Of course, Peter tried to make up for it. Peter planned to remain close to Jesus by following him to the high priest's palace. In fact, he went right into the high priest's courtyard. He was going to stick around and see how Jesus fared. Sadly, certain people began to break down his confidence. Little by little, Satan led him into sin. When someone asked Peter if he knew Jesus, Peter replied, "Nope, I don't know the man. I don't know what you mean." All was quiet until another person stated that Peter was with Jesus. This time, his denial was a little stronger. "I swear to God, I don't know the man." Finally, a little group of people in the courtyard approached Peter and said, "Surely you were with Jesus, because your accent gives you away. You have that heavy Galilean accent. Oh yes, you were with Jesus." Peter, desperate to distance himself from Jesus, used words that shock us even today. He cursed himself and swore that he didn't know Jesus. He probably said, "God, send me to hell if I know that man. I swear to God, I don't know Jesus." And immediately, the rooster crowed. Peter remembered the words of Jesus spoken just a few hours before. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. We know about little by little, don't we? We know about watchfulness slipping away. So often, little by little, Satan takes us to places we never expected. So often, we hear the rooster crow of God's word and our conscience is awakened. And we say to ourselves, "How did I ever get into this mess?" So many marriages end sadly and with great bitterness. How does a couple once deeply in love end that way? Little by little. With a harsh word here, an unfeeling gesture there. I had a classmate in elementary school who wound up in prison for stealing cars. How did he wind up in prison? Little by little. He stole in school. He started to shoplift. He started to steal bikes. He started to steal cars. Would your grandparents have watched the TV shows that you watch today? I hardly think so. They'd be scandalized. Some of these reality shows are so racy, your grandparents would probably fall off their chairs, right? Little by little, our values have been watered down. These reality shows have become racy beyond sensibility. Satan understands that if he's going to corrupt and steal human souls, if he's going to break down watchfulness, he can do it little by little. But our Savior Jesus also understands little by little. That's why Jesus never gave in to the devil, not even one little bit. Jesus remained watchful, alert, firm in his convictions. When the devil asked Jesus to turn a stone into bread, he refused to do it. He didn't even make a crumb of bread. He didn't allow Satan to control him little by little. When the devil tempted Jesus to worship him in exchange for all the kingdoms and all their glory in the world, Jesus didn't give in an inch. He didn't say, "Well, you know, maybe if I bow just a little bit, it would be okay." No. He said to Satan, "Get out of here, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Jesus was tempted to water down the suffering of the cross, even avoid it altogether. When Jesus predicted his suffering and death before the disciples, Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, this will never happen to you." So did the other disciples. They didn't want Jesus to die. They didn't want him to go to Calvary. But Jesus would have none of it. How could he save us if he had said, "Well, I'll suffer a little bit, but I don't want to die. I don't want to be whipped. I don't want those nails to be driven through my hands." How could Jesus have saved us if he had hedged on his mission? Praise God. Jesus went resolutely to the cross. He said, "Father, your will be done. I'm going to the cross." He made a sacrifice that covers the sins of the world. Jesus' love and commitment to us are rock solid, total, complete. He never gave up little by little. He kept watch without wavering. And because Jesus never gave in to sin or the devil, we have forgiveness and everlasting life. When Peter repented of his denials and placed his trust in Jesus for salvation, he was forgiven. Forgiven of all his little by little sins and all the other sins. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Peter, and he didn't reject Peter or punish him. He received him back as a brother, as if nothing had happened. Peter's slate was wiped clean. And that's the way it is with us. When we give in little by little, the Holy Spirit wakes us up using God's word. It's like our rooster crows, and we come to our senses. And then Jesus comes to us with his gracious promises. He says, "Listen, I know you've compromised. I know you like to talk the talk and not walk the walk. But I died and rose for you. My goodness covers you. Your sins are blotted out completely. You are mine." Jesus grants us grace. The best definition of grace I've ever heard is this: not getting what you deserve and getting what you don't deserve. Have you ever heard that definition? Not getting what you deserve and getting what you don't deserve. In Christ, we don't get what we deserve. We deserve hell, punishment, separation from God. But we don't get that. And we get what we don't deserve. We get forgiveness, peace with God, everlasting life, life with God in heaven forever. Jesus grants us grace. And in the power of that grace, we find the strength to go on, the strength to watch and pray, the strength to follow Jesus wherever he leads. You know, a lot of churches in the Waterloo area have roosters on top of their steeples. Have you seen that? We call them chicken churches. They have a rooster on the top of the steeple. I've heard a couple explanations for these roosters on steeples. First, roosters are a sign of prosperity. If you go to France, they have a rooster on their coins, they have a rooster on their currency. It's a symbol of industry, prosperity. Second, in Europe, if there's a rooster on top of your steeple, that church is a Protestant church. If there's a cross on the steeple, that church is a Roman Catholic church. I think that holds true most times. Finally, the rooster on the top of the church reminds us not to deny Christ as Peter did. The rooster is a reminder to watch and pray because Jesus could come at any time. As Jesus said, he might come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows. And I like that last explanation. As we live our lives in Christ, let's remember the rooster. Let's remember how that rooster crow reminded Peter of Jesus' words and brought him to repentance. And with that repentance, Jesus brought him forgiveness, complete forgiveness. A forgiveness that transformed Peter into a new creature. He was transformed into a bold servant of the Lord, a man who was sure of his salvation because of what Jesus did. Let's remember that what Jesus did for Peter, he does for you and me. He convicts. He forgives. He renews. He leads. Jesus calls us to watch. To watch for His coming again. To watch as He works mightily in our lives. To Him be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.